vouchers.
Look right here. Arbitrary procedures.
Oh.
For the cemetery.
That's just a purchase to approve.
Okay.
I'm purchasing to a church bookstore. So that's good. That's why that's on there.
But it's for us.
Right. Yep. That's for the office here. This is kind of a unique book. I wasn't sure where all I could get it, but I knew they had it. So I just ordered it to that bookstore.
That's it.
Sure.
Vouchers is submitted to the board.
I'll second it.
The motion's been made and seconded to approve the vouchers. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of approving the vouchers, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Financial report.
Minutes.
Minutes. I looked right past it. I'm sorry.
I move we approve the May minutes.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second.
I second it.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the minutes of the May board meeting. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Hearing none, the motion passed.
Do you guys have the financial statement that you signed?
Come on, just sign the thing, it's in the voucher.
Do you have a minute to sign?
Sure.
Okay. The financial report. And we hand this over to Chanda.
Okay, in the packet that you guys have, I think you have the wrong balance sheet. That's on 6/30 of 2020. So those first numbers aren't accurate. Is that what you guys have?
Yeah, I got 6/30/20.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that got in there, but that's not the correct one.
Okay.
Just real quick, the checking account we have $35,000. Bank of Buffalo we have $4,000. Wildstar we have $936,300. The Wildstar interest rate has jumped up a little bit. It's over 1. I just got the May statement this morning. 1.1%. So that's a little bit higher. I think it was $900 in interest we earned in May. So it's a little bit higher. Profit and loss. Let me make sure that's correct. Yeah. Okay, so the rest of it looks like it's okay. Profit and loss. There wasn't anything on there concerns about other than the one you already questioned. One thing, the state of Wyoming, the $60 for the notary fee for grants, the check should have been made out to grants that I sent in the paperwork. So I reissued the check for the bottom line. It's still the same.
Okay.
It's a couple more pages, I think 5 pages after that. Oh, sorry. Before that, right after. the balance sheet is the budget report. We are 92% through the fiscal year. We will just finish off with the month of June. So any June bills will be added to this. One thing I wanted to point out is we talked a little bit last month about the funds from the mineral companies that we're getting in advance, and Barry, maybe you can chip in if I'm not saying this right. We get a pretty large check on the 23, 24, $18,000. So I don't know if we want to hold that money and stick it in a separate reserve that we then use in fiscal year 23-24. Because Greg, if I'm correct, when we levy a certain amount, that will actually come out of it. So if we've already spent it, we won't get it again. Is that, am I looking at this correctly?
No.
Okay.
So that, those facilities are tax dollars are from previous years.
They're from previous years, not future years.
That's right.
Oh, that makes a big difference.
So, the some, so let me back up. Are we talking about, because there's several different sources of money that are coming into the treasurer's office. Some of it would be this year's income, which would be from mineral production ad valorem from this year. January production, first check would have come in 1st of April, okay? But I also know there was some big, and it depends, so I'd have to look at the voucher or the check that came from Carla's office to see whether it's that, which you're right.
We have it here.
Okay. Or whether it's from, because there was a big personal property check that came in as well that would have applied to 3 years ago.
Barry, it's labeled fiscal year 22.
Okay.
Next thing, sorry, guys. I just want to make sure I'm telling you.
So from a budgeting standpoint, we're going to have to ask Carla how to handle that, okay, or commissioners, because you're right, that will...
Well, from a conversation I had with Carla, she said that it's the fund, I think we levied a different amount in fiscal year 23, then we could be liable. If we levy less, then we could be liable to spend some of the funds back.
I think that's accurate this year's money.
No,
that's
right. Sounds like that's going to
work. We talked about putting that in a separate fund.
Yeah, because of the potential for
22 taxes.
Because we're the one that did this fiscal year. Fiscal 23 taxes, and we spent $18,000 of it in fiscal year 21, then we'll be expecting that money in 23, but we've already
had it.
If I understand this process correctly.
It'd be like prepaying your taxes.
Right.
Yeah. And if we use it now, then... And then if the valuation goes down, then we owe them back money.
Yes. We talked last meeting about a separate account to put anything like that.
At least initially a separate line item for all the future taxes.
And they do have separate line items. My concern, we didn't know how much it would be. You know, if it's $1,000, but if we're getting $18,000, $20,000 checks, that's a different...
Yeah. And they're going to continue to be that way. So... I guess I'm a little confused myself because, in theory, that should be in the fiscal year that's about to start on July 1, whereas, you know, the treasurer's office is sending it to you as the fiscal year that's going to start a year from now. And so I'll ask Carla about that because I don't have the answer to that either, because when we change that statute, it should be applying this year. So January 1 through December 1 of this year is going to roll into the 22 fiscal calendar starting July 1, 22.
Okay.
So I don't think, because that's why we did, so under the old system, it would be 23. Under the old system, that's how it would have worked. Under the new system, we changed all that to sort of slide everything up a year, and then there's a gap. There used to be a gap, and he kind of got rid of the gap. That stuff we did the last couple of years, and so I don't know. I'll ask Carla. Maybe somebody could send me a copy. If you want to email me a copy of that at some point, and then I can get back to y'all. Because you're right. The way that's written, you're not going to.
You don't want
to use it. It doesn't work, because you would have to just set that into a bank account and look at it for the next year.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make sense. So, and that was never the purpose of us changing the statute. It was so that we could make things more current. When we were working on that, one of the proposals was to not, and I actually thought this would have been fine, was to let the county treasurer just hold all that money, put it in escrow, and then you'd still get your payments all at once, so that you weren't worried about bookkeeping of that. And you'd still just do your standard budget, you'd still get the money when you always do, except the mineral stuff would be all at once, your other taxes would still trickle in here, you know, in November and May and a lot in December or whatever, but we didn't end up doing that. And so each county's handling a little bit different, so I'll ask Carla.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
So then on that top part of that tabular, it shows that income, it shows the 16 and the 300, or the 18 and the 300. Then on a couple lines over, it shows a minus. Is that just because it's not in this budget?
Because we didn't budget anything there,
John? We just, right. That's our way of holding it off to the side, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Good job. And my other question was, you know, we're sitting at, what would you say, we're about $25,000 for this month?
Yes.
Budget hearing. Our treasurer is not here, so I guess he doesn't think we need one.
He said, of course, he was mainly talking about budget. The new budget to be submitted.
Right.
No problems with that.
Right.
But I don't know about this.
What does the president of the board say? John, have you been in touch with John Ehlers about whether or not we need to do a budget hearing between now and the end of the month? Or do you think we're going to squeak by?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we have not visited about that.
Okay.
What you're talking about,
the budget we're in right now, our fiscal year ends in June 30th, and we have roughly $25,000 to get to pay all of our June bills.
Actually, John, I was wrong. It's about 21,000.
21. And our payroll normally runs about 15.
Yeah, that's what it was last month. There was a couple bigger bills that won't be on here. We paid the CPA to do our last year's review, which was $4,700. Right. And then we can kind of wiggle this very covered ears, but health insurance, that was first quarter, so we haven't been billed for second quarter health insurance. So we probably honestly won't get that bill
until after
then as well. Okay. It was $7,000, it's not quite as much now, but.
Okay. All right. If you wouldn't mind just letting John touching base with John Henson. Otherwise, I'd make a motion that we approve the financial report. I mean, we're 92% spent and 92% there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. With motion made and seconded to accept the financial report as is. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Okay. Let me see what the words on the report. Rolling calendar. Final budget vote.
So we need to. We should have a. This should be a vote on our. The budget that we submit.
The budget hearing is scheduled for our July meeting.
Right.
We meet with the commissioners tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have final budget on the old business. I don't think we don't.
Okay. Okay. In a budget summary form to the Johnson County Clerk.
Did we vote last month to approve that budget to submit it to the county?
That's what I think we did.
That's what I think we did.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's done. The presentation of budget to commissioners. That is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
What time is that?
9:30, I
think. I'm in the middle of some personal stuff, so I can't make it.
I'll be there. Are you there?
And the quarterly employee evaluation, since things are a little up in the air, I guess we just have to pass that on.
I don't see it in our minutes from last month, guys.
We did have it after John made the presentation.
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
Vouchers. Minutes.
I thought it was appropriate because we knew we'd have to go to the commissioners.
Because we're going with commissioners this month.
I think it's there to our business. Motion made by Dorvis, seconded by Webber, and passed by Manus.
Except there it is. Okay.
Manus, yep.
I just wanted to make sure we did.
Thanks, Jenna. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have that. Let's move forward to the section report.
See there on the first page.
Hold on.
The section report.
Okay, there we are. Okay.
Burials last month 7, year to date 19. Saturday burials 2. Burials to date on Saturday 7. Saturday burials total hours this month actually work. Full-time employees, 2 burials, 4 hours. Saturday burials, total hours, year-to-date, actual hours worked, 47. Spaces sold last month, 14. Resident burials to date, 12. Non-resident burials to date, year-to-date, 7. Spaces sold year-to-date, 39. Spaces sold pre-need last month, 14. Spaces sold at need last month, 0. Spaces sold pre-need year-to-date, 36. Spaces sold at need year-to-date, 3. No spaces donated last month or year-to-date. 3 full burials last month. 12 full burials year-to-date. 4 cremation burials last month. And 7 year-to-date. 0 tons of gravel this month was used. Year-to-date was 305.06 tons.
Now that's what we have up there on top of the hill.
It's piled up there, and some of it's spread out here in the driveway of the office. Number of hours used last month for part-time help, including temporary service employees, is 430. Number of hours updating Sims, 8 plus. I think that's actually supposed to be about 14.
and projects updated for last month. Now, this was a list that Megan left or wrote up before she went on vacation. And so some of this was projects update for last month. Some of this is stuff that she's worked on. Some of this is stuff we worked on together. And some of the stuff I've worked on with her or by myself or vice versa. We've kind of tried to sort our responsibilities a bit like that. Mow and weed eat, turn on the ditch and clean that ditch out. And prepared for Memorial Day. Installed 10 posts on block marker signs to test and see if that option will work to make them stronger in the wind. And so far that's worked out. The system we've settled on seems to work pretty good. Tar and install the stock tanks under the fuel tanks. Worked on brochures for the cemetery. We helped the public over the Memorial Day weekend and had a successful weekend with lots of positive comments and administrative duties. Projects to do in the next month: mow and weed eat grass, plant trees, test and run water system, and administrative duties. The water system is behind schedule a little bit due to attempts to repair some of the issues. The Sims report hasn't changed a whole lot other than the hours we've put on it. Sometimes that percentage moves fairly slowly during the summer. We get a lot more done on Sims during the winter because we try to focus our energies on outdoor projects while possible. So you'll see some of the improvements there in the Sims report. Then Jeanette is here. Do you want to give the Casey? No. Casey, Cemetery Monthly Report. I guess you'll probably see before you get to that the Temporary Administrative Assistant Report. And that I've just tucked in there along with the Sexton's Report. These are things that I've accomplished in the office as a temporary administrative assistant. The Sims, you'll see that at the top of the list. I developed and helped publish the Help Wanted ads for the Sexton position. Prepared packets in this office space here. And I also developed a file for an emergency management plan. That is still under construction. I'm working on that. I just about have it completed. And I purchased Affinity Publisher software, took some training, and tried to develop these brochures. These are just a couple of rough drafts if you're interested in looking at those. I'd appreciate any feedback. If you see something needs changed, altered, improved, I'd be appreciative of that. And I'm currently processing a workers' comp claim. That's kind of been from scratch. I think we haven't had a workers' comp claim for the 80s, I think, the 90s, something like that. So it's been a while. So
we haven't had a claim.
We have not had one for a long
time.
You're
just updating.
No, we had an accident.
No, we had an accident, and I'm trying to develop a process of addressing that. And so some of that has been simply downloading things from the state website, and I did some investigation. I have some reports here if you're interested in looking at that.
Yeah, I want to see what happened.
I just heard about it today. But John Hanson, the lawyer?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Now, in our policies and procedures, do we have an actual, I'm trying to remember if we have an actual workers' comp, our injuries checklist, step guide checklist? Is it like
if we do, I'd
step one, step two.
We
step
possibly
three.
Do, but I might
pass it. Yes.
Is it right here?
Yeah.
Here's the thing to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
I know I contacted Megan and Hanson about it, and both of them did not refer to that. They just said it's been so long. I don't know if we have a process in writing, and so that's what I'm trying to establish.
Did she just further hand when she was hooking on the trailer?
Yes.
Got her head between the ball and the ditch, or what?
No, the trailer had come off the hitch on the truck,
mm-hmm.
and they had put a jack under the trailer, the tongue,
mm-hmm.
and was trying to lift it up to put it back to the trailer. And they've had some difficulties with that. They've got it almost there. So several of the summer help decided to try to just lift it by hand,
mm-hmm.
and they did that. But then they realized they didn't have the strength to do it, so they decided to set it back down, back on the floor jack that was under it,
mm-hmm.
and it had moved enough to where she got her fingers on it. So two fingers were cut. She went to the doctor. There was got some X-rays. There was nothing broken. Didn't need stitches. It's just bandaged.
Okay.
And
so all we're having is just a claim for the hospital.
Yes. And she did take the next day off, but so I don't know if we'll end up paying for that. I'm not sure. I think you have to take more than three before, but I could be wrong. I'm still learning this process myself.
Okay.
So that's in the works. And the investigations that I did are here, and the account, and then the claim is there as well if you want to make that information. So. And these are just back to these. These are just rough drafts. If you see something needs change, take your pen, just cross through there, or write in different, and I'll use that as a kind of template to update.
We, as you go through this workers' comp thing, we need to write down what you did, who you called,
okay,
so that we can put that in our employee handbook as a. I think I probably have it as a step action drill on what to do if there's an injury or accident.
Okay.
Because we just say people are covered under comp, workers' comp. There's nothing that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we need to fix in our employee handbook. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Then on the second page of that, you'll see file development. I've discovered several things in our soft, our file keeping on our online, on our computer, and so I've one of the things I developed is you'll see that there's a processing burial request. There were no or very very limited. Instructions on how to do that. We put.
They had one at one time.
We update seven or eight different files and folders just on our computer, and then there's a file system outside. There was no instructions to walk you through that. So I tried to establish instructions for KC as well as Willow Grove for plot purchases as well as. Burials, and so those are a checklist basically to walk you through that. And so I developed those. Another thing I updated, and I'll hand those out if you want to look at those. I updated our Johnson County burial request form. I think some of you have possibly already seen these, but if you look at our policy manual. Has a term that it uses to identify this paper, and that is the Johnson County Burial Request Form. If you went to the computer and tried to find the Johnson County Burial Request Form, you would not find one. And because these top two sheets is what they had available in lieu of that form. One, it says funeral information. The second one was an Excel program layout that was very confusing. I got a lot of feedback that was confusing.
Mm-hmm.
These were done before I got here by previous employees. And so this is what I did. It was the last page in that handout. You'll see I basically compiled all the questions or information that's requested on these two sheets onto one page. And then I also retitled that so that it fits our policies and procedure manual. If you look up Johnson County Cemetery Burial Request Form, you'll find this, which has the information needed to file that paperwork. And
There's also instructions on this paperwork which helps clarify it, and so that any funeral home specifically hands to a family and say, this is what we need to do. These previous two were very confusing on numerous accounts. So I felt like this would clarify some things, also help kind of lay out our policy and procedures and instructions on how to process that, and some contact information for us. So that's another thing I worked
on. So was Delaney getting these forms through?
Have I said these forms I have not published? I have, but very limited, simply because I wanted the board to look at them. And I have published them to several funeral homes asking for feedback, saying, is this acceptable? Will this work well with what programs you're working with? And I've got positive feedback even from Harness on this form. So I thought that was good. So I haven't done much more than that with it. But because it's taking two ambiguous sheets and turning them into an official document, I felt like we needed to present it to the board. Thank you, Carolyn, for that advice. And
the only time you find something that is confusing, and your folks know what to do with it, so you check the ideas updated.
Okay.
Do we have to do anything with this? Do we have to vote on this? Do we?
No, we shouldn't. That's an official form.
Yes, an official form.
Well, yeah. This is one of those too, so we just updated it.
So now, if this is not going to be the official form anymore,
we need to change
then
it.
We need to change it.
Somebody want to make a motion to accept this new official form?
Well, I would like John Ehlers and John Hansen to be able to see it. I don't. Maybe that's not necessary.
Well, we're just replacing the current form. This is an updated one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's subject to change.
In essence, it's no different than the older forms, other than the title. It's the actual official title that's references to the policy and procedure.
Yeah, right.
But as far as the
the only thing I'm seeing is I'm just wondering how we track whether or not the required fees have been paid. Opening and close for non-residents. How does that communication go back and forth?
This is simply a burial request. This is not a fee or even it really doesn't address that. That's a whole different element of processing a request.
Or that last one,
plot purchase.
Yes. So how do we, because that's part of the communication with the funeral home. Say, mm-hmm. This is what the open and close fees are. If we're using this, so this is just a request form. Is there a checklist I thought we had a checklist at one time for the staff to go through. Yes, fees have been paid, blah, blah, blah. That checklist is part of that to make sure. Okay, we've got the form. Has the burial permit been issued? Has the deed been issued? Have fees been paid? Because
sure.
Technically we can't bury anybody. Not supposed to bury anybody until all of those things have happened.
Sure.
So
I haven't seen that list. It's never been presented to me if we have one. I could develop one. It sounds like it would be a good checklist to have. Or we could try to tie it in with this.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm wondering, if that's not the better thing, is if we, on the back page, say, hey, mm-hmm. This is the checklist, and then both parties can see the checklist. Are the fees paid, requests coordinated, blah, blah, blah. Because the main reason for this is to keep keep the keep two different funeral homes from trying to schedule a burial at the same date and place.
Right.
You know, that's the main reason, is to deconflict any burials. That's the one thing I would say we probably need to add on that. And if we put that checklist on there, then all parties know and look at both sides of the page and know what the checklist is. Hey, this is the information side, and then here's the checklist side on the back.
Okay.
Do we have all the boxes checked? So we can go ahead.
And you said you've already started using this?
No, but I have issued it to funeral homes in requesting feedback. And just trying to make sure that this is going to be. I have not used or received any of these in official form.
I would say if we do a checklist so that Eric.
Because then that'll go in the file. Our fees aren't required. And there's a box. You can go right down that list and say, okay, we're all done.
So this mentions the policy and procedure for the 48 hours of actual burial. And then there's also contact information. So when we receive that, that begins the discourse to start walking through the financial side of that. And that's why I left it off of this. But it would be pretty handy to just put it on there.
You know,
that way
on the back side, then it's falling back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just keep track of everything that's been done. Otherwise, I think, you know, see it next month with a little checklist, it should be good to show. That's my two cents.
Okay.
I'm good.
Mine too.
Good stuff.
I agree.
Good stuff.
That's what I like. I want to hear what needs to be better. Okay. And then the dump truck, I know that was an issue the last couple board meetings. That has been addressed. And it is now DOT certified, and all the safety issues have been addressed on that.
Do you know what the GVW is on that?
I looked one time. I couldn't find it.
That's probably no more than 26,000.
No, it's over 26.
Is
in order to have it. It's in there somewhere. I know it's over 26.
Because I am not a truck driver.
You're not?
What? When you say DOT certified, what does that mean, and does that involve extra paperwork? Does it involve extra money?
So,
what all does that involve?
So every
day inspector.
Yeah, every commercial truck, every truck that's above 25,999 pounds is considered commercial.
Gross vehicle weight.
And so every year that vehicle has to have an inspection.
And we haven't been doing that with our dump truck?
Well, it's had some old ones on it, but not recently. But that inspection has to be done by a certified, a mechanic that has X number of experience, blah, blah, blah. But that certification allows it to travel on the highway. Without that, you can't travel on any public roads with a vehicle that has a gross vehicle weight over 25.
Does it cost to have it certified?
I do my own because I'm a certified mechanic. So it depends on if we've got to take it to a mechanic, a repair shop that has the mechanic that's certified to do it. Yeah, that's going to cost you some labor hours for the inspection. Then he does the inspection, then he finds, well, you need XXX fixed before I'll give you a certificate.
Can you just call the department, though, and have them?
Call who?
Well, they
won't do annual inspections. Now, if they catch you on the highway and stop you, they'll inspect it. But they're
looking
for stuff that's broke.
They're
going to give you a ticket.
We found out.
Yeah, they're going to give you a ticket for anything that's broke. They do on-the-spot inspections to make sure you're being honest with the inspections.
So we did this specifically so we can take it.
Not specifically, but the other safety issues like the gas pedal thing that was missing and all that, once all that's fixed, we just had them do a regular annual inspection, and then now it is certified. While you're there and having the mechanic fixing everything, you might as well have because he's doing the checklist.
So we're good to go.
If we need to go out to the gravel pit or take something to KC or haul dirt
in from somewhere else, we can do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Your phone's calling.
Yes, I know.
Okay. All right. Then the boardroom upgrades. That's this lighting fixture.
It's a lot brighter.
It's here. We're plugging laptops tied into that. There's power outlets there as well. I actually did that part, but that's all part of it. It's the cost, and it's under the same line item. There's also a well here that this table ties into, that the wiring comes up through the floor. And so that was, we hired an electrician.
So we got rid of our tripping and stumbling.
Yeah, yeah. No trip hazards over here now. That's a big improvement. So,
yeah, we don't even qualify for workers' comp.
Yeah. And Memorial Day, then you'll see there, south there, with Memorial Day. And then fuel spill containment, I think we already addressed that in the previous report. And then last board meeting, and my computer shut itself off. Okay, I can get to it. But I have a picture that's going to ring up there. We talked about a tree that's blocking the Lawton Carwell ditch.
Uh-huh.
And I have been monitoring that. I've been out there three times. And what the tree is actually clearing the ditch itself. But the bark on this tree is an inch and a half, 2 inches thick. And as it's decomposing, as chunks are falling in the creek. And so I've been monitoring that and just keeping it cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bees decided to guard that, so I've been doing it pretty carefully. The ditch is very, very clear right now. There are some branches from olive, Russian olives that are kind of trailing in the water, whatever, around that area, but that tree is not impeding the ditch. So the tree is over 3 foot through at that point, I believe. So we don't have the equipment to cut that into small pieces and move it.
We don't.
And not that I know of.
We have a chainsaw, right?
We do. And so we, I would suggest that we just wait till winter and have an arborist do it. We have a backhoe, we could move it if it was cut into smaller pieces. It's a pretty good sized tree, but so I'll come out and help you. I think I could do it, but not with the skill level of the help that I have. So if you wanted to come out and help, I think we could probably do it ourselves.
Okay.
But the bar on that saw is smaller. It's going to take some skill to get that cut off because it's hanging over. You know, you'll be under that. And it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm afraid to take some help out there to test.
All right, so I'll come out and help you.
But I think we could if it works out. But maybe better off just have an arborist to fix it. So then the KC Cemetery Monthly Report. I spoke with Weed and Pest and suggested a couple options. Dig the open tunnel and put poison oats down, open tunnel and drown them out with a water hose. I'm trying option number one this time, putting poison oats in holes. With all the rain we've gotten, it may take a little while. Mowing and weed whacking is needed. Rain has prohibited progress at times. Sending monthly reports, checking emails, taking down fences around trees, and closing newly planted trees from last year. Set up a funeral. Took guide wheel off a Toro mower as it broke and gave to local welder to fix. Toro dealership has yet to call back after leaving messages. Called John Deere about caster wheel on the zero turn. We'll be picking that up on the weekend. Checking bathroom, doing daily drive-throughs, filling graves that have sunk due to rain and settling. Fixed drip hose system. It's plastic and it was hit with the mower. Fixed weed sprayer gauge hoses. And took tire to Tom's Tire for repair. Two needs to be replaced and one is ordered. Helping Buffalo Cemetery mow and weed whack, and we appreciate that. Putting ant killer out around problem areas in the cemetery. And if you have any questions, we are starring Danetti today, so she can answer your questions about KC.
Okay. And now we have We have a Sims report on, or is this part of the, should this be part of the...
reading. We can read this.
Yeah.
You can read through that.
Okay. Guest presentation on the M&M construction on the ramp. We have two different bids here. One is the ramp, and the one in front of you first is the ramp and sidewalks, plus the ramp for the railing, and another ramp I would take it for the stairway. And the $3,400. Can somebody enlighten me a little bit on this? Or
the first bid included a ramp. That was for $3,700, I believe.
Yeah.
And that was just a ramp. I believe it was 4 foot wide, going down off the end of the porch all the way to the end of the driveway, the end of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And so that did address some issues, but left some things unaddressed. And so the sidewalk out front here is deteriorating. That's one of them. Another thing is we don't have any handrails for that stairwell. Last mm-hmm. board meeting, there was an incident there. Some of the visitors were leaving. And so a request was put out to have a bid received for fixing that handrail and just paving. Just go ahead and pave all, redo that sidewalk that's deteriorating, and then there's that space of dirt that used to be a flower bed that would be left between the ramp and the sidewalk, and their request is just to pave all of that, so you just end up with one nice white sidewalk.
Pave it or concrete?
Concrete. So that so the second bid is for all of that. So that is a total bid. It's not added to the $3,700.
Okay.
It's a total bid for the extra work.
Okay.
And that includes tearing out the old concrete. I'm doing the dirt work and then pouring the concrete.
The concrete fellow that I talked to that came out for M&M, I was asking what can we do? We have some equipment, some help. What can we do to help keep the cost down on this? And he mentioned that old sidewalk. And I said, we can probably take that out. We have a dump truck and a backhoe. We could easily just carve out that old sidewalk. That would save. He said that would save significantly, not having to haul in a backhoe or a dump truck to do that work. So that's how I was planning on addressing that in the event that this...
So this does not include the excavation and
the old sidewalk.
Okay. All right, I was going to ask. That's the question I was asking.
And the gravel he was wanting to put in as a base is, we've got piles of it up there at the top of the hill. He said that's actually the perfect, exactly what he needs.
Okay.
And as far as digging down a little bit, he doesn't feel like we would need to. We just laid in what we have, that gravel, and then they would pack it down, and then they could work off that. So we wouldn't have to excavate much more than just the sidewalk itself.
Okay. Did he indicate when he would be ready to start?
He would do it in two phases. The ramp would be one phase, and then the remainder would be a second pour, different phase. And we're already on schedule. We've maintained our schedule to have this first phase done. And that has been up in the air a little bit, but I believe it's like within a week or two. And so I told him I would contact him with the board's decision on the remainder of that. And we have a little time, but by the time they finish that first phase to decide.
So if they bill us before the end of the month on that, then we will have to have a budget hearing. I mean, if we don't get the bill until July 1st, but it still occurs here, do we do a budget hearing after July 1st?
That makes it all to bill you after July 1st.
take that.
Thanks, Terry.
Okay, so if you want paid, it'll stack.
July 1st.
Pay you the next year.
So we'd need a motion to approve the change in the bid, the new bid for the ramp and sidewalk.
That is your motion?
Yeah, I'd make a motion that we accept the bid from, what is this construction place?
M&M
Construction for a total of $8,400 to complete the ADA ramp and railings.
I'll second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Let's vote to approve this motion.
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Hanson, do you say aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, no. The motion carries. Okay, now we're going to look at the second one from Broken Pipe Ranch to do some supply and install 400 feet of 4-inch PVC pipe with two gate valves and blow down drain connection. Bid includes excavation, filter grade, labor, and materials. Due to volatile market, this bid is good for 1 week. Material is estimated 4 to 6 weeks away.
That's it, too.
I'm sorry.
What did we put in the budget for next year for that repair? You remember it was in the
$50,000, I think it was,
for that water line repair?
Water line or water lines?
Yeah, water lines. You had a specific line item down in the bottom of the budget for next year that we. I just want to make sure we're not. I don't remember if it was 10 or 25.
He says 4 to 6 weeks. It's taken us 3 months to get pipe.
Try to find that gray electrical stuff now.
Yeah. And they make it right with Casper.
Yeah. I got mine out. I'm pretty sure it's more than 13 is what we've budgeted.
Right.
I think we budgeted 50 for it.
I would say 50.
Okay.
But that's.
But it's.
I think it could be wrong, but I seem like 50 sounds right.
So then the question has been for that project. So if we put it in our capital outlay and it's not actually in part of our budget, is that going to change our budget that we submit, our final budget that we submit for next year? Because we're actually spending the capital outlay.
Say that again, John.
The capital outlay that we identified on our budget form for 22-23, that's part of our budget, so we can spend. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I just didn't know if we'd have to do our budget before July if we go ahead and approve this, because we are going to spend it.
Before the end of the fiscal year?
No, not this year, next year.
Then we'll be fine.
Okay, we have this bid from Broken Pipe Ranch Plumbing to repair 400 feet of water line. Do we have a motion to approve?
Could I get the number of that bid, please?
Oh, I'm sorry, John. $13,550. Without with with $8,000 down payments to be made before to pay for the materials.
Can I provide some clarification about this bid?
Mm-hmm.
I did. Now, this is for one project, and we also have another pending project that we've been trying to get addressed.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him if he'd be willing to address the secondary project, and because it's going to take some backhoe work to even really assess the situation, he said he'd be willing to uncover it and give us a good assessment. So this bid probably, there will be more attached to this bid if we have him do that, which it has to be done at some point anyway. So
I would rather have it on a separate.
Okay.
Keep them separate.
That's fine. Just so you know where this is kind of the first step to addressing the second issue. So.
And this is going to be done
in
when?
4 to 6 weeks after I give him the clearance, which will be probably tomorrow.
If he can get the material.
Yes. Okay. He's pretty certain he can get the material.
Okay.
And although this bid was given to us on 5/17, I did contact him about this, the 1 week, the statement here, due to the market and materials. And but he said the bid is still accurate as is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So, real quick, here, people, is it my understanding that the $8,000 has to be paid within a week?
No, it has to be paid prior to him ordering the material. I guess the question that came into my mind then, if we pay that...
We can't pay it till July
1st. We can't pay it. We just tell them we can't pay it till July 1st.
That's where I was going with this.
Yes. Yeah. So...
Then we have next year's budget.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
I have a question about that.
Pardon?
I just had a question about the $8,000. Nancy, do you know, I mean, when you order, like when you call an order type, do you have to pay for it up front?
Well, what he's looking for is half down.
Well, he's asking for the value of the pipe.
Yeah.
Before he orders it, I'm just saying, it seems to me like you pay for the pipe once it's, when he goes to pick it up and actually has to pay for it,
yeah. He
would pay for the pipe, but...
Yeah.
You following me? I mean, he's asking for it when it's ordered, not when it's paid for,
yeah.
Which are two different things.
No, we just order ours, and if the customer chooses not to pay it, he will have to pay it, whether he wants it or not.
Right. Yeah. I just meant when you pick up the phone and call Casper and say, I need a mile of
As soon as we pick it up from the yard... Then we get the bill on it.
Right, okay.
Because the price fluctuates so much.
Yeah, and not always. Might depend on who he has an account with. If he doesn't have an account, like up in Sheridan, when I buy lumber up there, some of them I don't have an account with, I got to pay when I walk out the door.
When you walk out the door, you have the material.
Yeah.
Not when you order the material. No.
So he's asking for that before he requires a down payment.
Which isn't unusual.
So I see he didn't put whatever thing cost for it.
Well, no, I'm not saying you shouldn't pay $8,000. I'm just trying to clarify, you pay $8,000 when the material is ordered or when he actually has to pay for it? They may be the same day, they may not be 6 weeks apart. They may be 8 weeks apart.
Yeah.
Who knows? In today's world, they could be 6 months apart.
6 months apart. Yeah. Yeah. If he drives down to Casper, it would be the same day.
Yeah.
If he said he had the pipe or said he wouldn't have an issue getting it.
Right. He checked to see if he could get it, and it'd be 4 to 6 weeks out. But that was on May 17th.
Yeah,
that bid.
Do we have a motion to accept this bid as written?
I
Sorry.
Go ahead.
But I did. I contacted six different plumbers, and he was the only one I got a bid from. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get pushed into a situation just because we're desperate to get it fixed. But at the same time, we don't have a lot of options to work with.
I mean, when we did the bathrooms, we did a certain amount up front.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of an SOP.
We did do something up front for the bathroom, so.
Mr. Hansen, any thoughts on the pipe repair?
Well, not having the actual bit right here in front of me, I tried to follow it as closely as I could. I guess I can hardly ask any questions if I don't see it. The actual bid, does anyone else have any,
I guess I'm asking, are you going to do a motion to accept the bid?
Gosh, I really hate doing that, not having that bid here in front of me.
I guess I'll make the motion to accept the bid as submitted. I would change that. I'd make a motion to accept the bid as of July 1st, 2022.
Okay. I'll go ahead and second it then.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to accept the bid from Broken Pipe Ranch Plumbing.
Beginning 1 July.
Beginning 1
July 2022.
And any more discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none. Carries. Okay. Now, we've got that. Okay. No reason to go into executive session.
Well, I had it down there, but I prefer to wait till we have a full board. So I'll defer down next month.
Okay.
Please put that on next month.
Okay. Old business, final budget.
We did that.
We will do that next month. We will do
that next month. But I think what they're trying to refer to there is the budget that was going to the commissioners with.
Okay. Officer term limit, bylaw change.
So last month I handed out did 15-day written notice to the board. Basically, what this would do is it would limit the officers of the board to 1 4-year term, or a combination of 48 individual months, just to help the board circulate leadership. So there's six of us on the board. Craig does 4 years as the president, and then John Hansen does 4 years, and then I do 4 years. Now, it's going to be, I don't think you're going to be here 25 years from now. So it just, hopefully you are, but it helps. The idea is if you move out of the position you're in 3 to 4 years, it helps the board build its leadership within, and we learn the other guy's job. So by the time you make a cycle around the board members, nobody gets to be in that position of, well, I'm the king and I'm in charge of everything. That's one of the reasons I gave up the
position. And you're not saying that every board member is required.
No, I'm not saying any board member is required to hold an office.
This is just for the officers.
Just for the officers. That's the vice president, the president, the secretary, and treasurer. So there will always be two positions.
So what about the other?
You stay in the other ones for as long as forever. We're just saying...
I've been here for 18 years.
I know.
Already? Forever. No.
No, so it's just the officers. The other two positions aren't addressed at all, and they're just the open positions.
I'm an old timer.
So that's the scope of it. It's just to get the officers to cycle through the officer positions on the board.
Yeah.
To help spread the wealth and spread the work and
spread the knowledge.
The knowledge, yeah. The institutional knowledge. And so that's what my notice last month. And if it's in the board's will, we'll vote and adopt that. And then when we were talking something earlier about next month's bylaws to change.
Yeah.
So that's my motion, is to accept our amendment 4 to our bylaws to limit our officers to a 4-year term. We can't do it this month.
Actually,
we can't do it. We don't have 5 members. Well, we do have 5 members.
We have 4.
No, our bylaws say you got to have at least 5 of the 6.
Oh, okay.
To vote to pass.
So table.
No, John Hanson's on. Yeah. So
are you still there, John?
Are you?
I'm still there. Starting to feel kind of lonely, but I'll get through it.
So the proposal is to limit the officer positions to 1 4-year term for the officer positions. And then they change.
Or combination.
It may never get used, but because of elections and everything else and people moving around.
Okay.
So that was the motion, and it's been seconded by Ms. Carolyn. We need 5 members. Are you planning on voting?
Yes, I will vote.
Okay. All right. So, because our bylaws say you got to have at least 5 of the 6 to say yes to change
to a bylaw. Okay.
Yeah, to a
okay.
bylaw.
We had a motion and a second to adopt this bylaw amendment number 4, dated August 11th.
Yeah, that's our bylaws. That's when we last updated.
Okay. All right. That threw me for a second. 2020.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amendment to those bylaws.
Yeah, amendment to the bylaws regarding the maximum 4-year term as an officer in any of the board positions. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. And it appears, John, when you're in town, you'll need to sign this.
What day is today?
Today is the 14th.
Yeah. I'll be clearing on Thursday. to get out of my shell.
Change that to 20. Should that be?
Oh, yeah.
22.
Yeah.
What was that, John?
I'll be clear by Thursday.
Okay. Yeah, there'll be 2 of them in the cemetery office for you, John. 2 originals for you to sign. So one will go in the official file.
I should be able to get it done Thursday.
Okay.
The next thing on the agenda is the update for the Sexton applications and scheduling of interviews.
Well, I've gotten 3 applications. Adding the paper is done. so there won't be an ad next week. So we advertised for 3 weeks, have 3 applications.
Okay. And I saw that we were going to run that until we had 3 applications. And yeah, we have the 3 applications.
Yeah, once we got 3 applications, we tried to do interviews. Is that your understanding, John? Is that once we got 3 applications, we'd try to do interviews to do the next step?
It was my understanding that there would be a minimum of 3 applications.
Right. Yeah. Well, sounds like we're there, so I guess it's up to you to get this interview scheduled.
I'll work on that again. I'll start with that on Thursday.
Okay.
Carolyn, I can work that out with you.
Sure.
Okay. I should be able to, I mean, my quarantine ends on Thursday, so if you prefer to wait another day, we could do it Friday or...
I want a written doctor's note that you're good.
How about the head nurse from the hospital?
That will work too.
How about an overbearing nurse?
Good, you need one.
I'll give you a call, Carolyn.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll get it scheduled. Now, do we, at this particular time, do we want to set up, a group of people set up to do the interviews, or?
Well, you said that the whole board can be on the interview committee if they will commit to all 3 interviews.
Okay.
That's what you said at the last meeting.
Okay, so all we have to do then is just set up scheduling of the interviews.
And notify all the board members.
Yeah, all right.
And those who want to come to, and those who don't come.
Okay. So we have that process started. The applications, the advertising for more applicants is closed, and you're going to start on Thursday with the setting things up for the interviews. Is that correct, Mr. Hanson? Okay. New business. We have 2 things here, a letter from Harness Funeral Home concerning Saturday burials. And is there a reason for this? What are we doing with this? What's the reason for it that this was put on the agenda?
Well, basically, he's telling us to stick it in our butt.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, point of order before we start.
Good.
Because Craig recused himself the last time we discussed Harness Funeral Home, I think you need to do that again.
After second thought, I have nothing to do with Harness Funeral Home other than I'm an EMT. I have no financial interest whatsoever.
You're being paid by an entity, correct?
I am being paid by Buffalo EMS.
Which is, well, I guess we need some clarification on that. Because I say you have a conflict of interest and you need to recuse yourself.
Mr. Crago?
Thank you for the opportunity. So, I'll tell you what our role in the legislature is. And that's you personally financially benefit from the decision or not, it's not a conflict. So that narrows it down dramatically. And as an elected official, which all of you are, you're hired, so to speak, to represent your constituents. And that means speaking your mind. And so, for example, we're not, I mean, it has to be a true conflict. You can't just say conflict in the legislature, for example, because they want to hear from your vote, or from you about your vote, about your thoughts. And so, you know, this one gets a little tricky, right? But at the end of the day, Mr. Wetterlin does not work for Harnessed Funeral Home. Now, does he work for the person who owns both the entities? I guess. But I would say there's not a direct financial benefit to Craig. And plus, there's more detriment to Craig. And I guess there is to all of us at some point when we have to pay the $400 on it if we want to get married on a Saturday. But other than that, Carolyn, I'm not sure there is what I would call a conflict, per se. To be honest with you, I mean, I'm just being straightforward about that. It's his call anyways. It's not anybody else's call. At the end of the day, you have to make a personal decision about whether or not that's a conflict, and then you get judged by the public, not by anybody else. I mean, that's what I would say.
So I was going on the fact that he recused himself the last time.
Yeah, and I don't think that's not a binding decision. I mean, I think he can reconsider that as an individual board member.
So it's your it's your ethical.
That's right.
If you're going to be ethical, use your best conscience and.
That's right. Because, I mean, the only true conflict that we have to worry about in the law is if you financially benefit from the decision, then you can't vote on it. There's an ethical procedure law.
That's if you can prove you.
Correct. Right. I mean, so that's the only time that we as the public or we as fellow board members or other officials could say anything about it is if it rises to the level to violate the state statute on voting on an issue where you have a conflict, where you have a direct financial benefit. And we could pull out the statute and read it. This isn't going to qualify. I mean, I can tell you that.
Okay.
So this is more of a, and there's two different levels, right? There's the moral version, ethical version, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, and then there's the statutory version, which is the only one that's really enforceable. Other than that, Craig can make his own decision on whether he believes he has a moral conflict or not. But I don't think I would tell you it's not. I don't think it's binding. If he said that last time and this time, he's come back and say something about it. I don't think that's.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Okay.
I do feel like this needs to be addressed. We cannot have a private business telling the board what policies they're going to follow and what policies they're not going to follow. So in my opinion, this needs to be addressed. Because we wouldn't let Kane's Funeral Home tell us, I'm not following your policies. We wouldn't let Champions or anybody else. So my feelings are this does need to be addressed.
So the problem I see with this whole thing is
In paragraph 2, it says, future Saturday burials will be the responsibility of Johnson County Cemetery to contact the family wishing to have the burial. How do we know who that family is?
Okay, the funeral home is to let the sexton know and share it in a good time.
That's what the application is right there.
Yeah.
To provide the cemetery with
the information.
Because the calls have been made over the last number of months, ever since this was enacted.
Yeah.
That the family has to come in and has to bring the money.
Well,
but when this came up, this was a slap, because you want to make sure that the cemetery or the funeral home is responsible to pay the $400.
No, who's ever requesting the burial?
Okay, and that's what Dave was saying. He is not going to request a Saturday burial. The family will request
So you're saying that this, because the part that really, you know, that's creating issue is it'll, you know, where he states it will be our responsibility. He's telling us what our job is. No.
Well,
no,
we impose this, but he's not going to collect that $400.
That's all this whole thing is saying.
He's going to send the families out here.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. If he wants to send his customers out here to do the paperwork, I don't have any issue with that.
Well, they should be known. Whoever they contact to have a funeral on Saturday is up to the sexton per cemetery to let the family know that they're going to have to pay another $400.
Well, they'll have to come out. So if the funeral home says, hey, look, we won't schedule a Saturday burial, you got to go out to the cemetery, fill out the form and get the permit. Okay, yeah. I don't have any issue with that.
Okay.
I mean, if he wants to send his customers out here, that's fine with me.
They're coming out. The family is coming out to choose the where they want.
Yeah,
the
I mean, if I was various, king for a day, we'd do it all. Like, you know, everybody has to just come out here and do their paperwork and do it, and then it's done. You know, so I don't see it as any getting off our nose to have the families come out and we do our customer service and show them the lots and fill out the forms with them and make sure the dates are good, and that way we make sure we have staff on hand to do the burials.
I'm fine with people coming out here.
Yeah.
We can show them where the spaces are. We can sell them the spaces. We can take care of the Saturday burial fee. We can do all of that.
All that in their trip out here. So, okay.
I think this needs to be responded to, and here's a draft letter that was presented to me to share with the board.
Yep.
For a minute. I'm assuming that we have that the district or our district employees have been collecting the $400. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yes.
Up to this point, the Harris Funeral Home has not collected the $400. They referred that to the district.
Well, they referred it to the families. The families have come out and paid it.
So families, but the point I'm making here is that the $400 has been paid. Yes. Obviously. And my question is, what does the district want to do? If we decide to do something about this, what would it be? What's the suggestion? What is it that we should do?
I don't think there's anything we do, John. It's basically the business as we've been has been conducted for the last 7 or 8 months. The family's just he's basically the way I'm understanding this. Harness is telling us he's just going to send the families out here to the cemetery to fill out the forms and do any of the fees that are needed. And then once the family has the funeral information form, they can take that back to Dave. Now, the only issue I see is if the family tries to schedule something prior to coming out to the funeral or coming out to the cemetery to verify that we have personnel in place or that there's not somebody else already scheduling a funeral.
Well, isn't that what the burial order form
is? Yeah. Yeah, the only thing I could see is that the public would have to basically come out here first and get the form filled out before verifying with the funeral homes that the date is good at the cemetery.
Okay.
Because if the family comes out and we say, well, you know, somebody from Gillette already has that date and time, then they would have to pick a different date and time, and then we could put that on the form and send that with the family back to the funeral home.
Okay, so we just continue on with the way it's being performed right now, the way it's going on right now.
Yeah, the only difference is the family, you know, the Harness Funeral Home, there won't be any information from them on that form. The initiation of that form would have to happen out here at the cemetery.
I see, yeah.
When the family comes out here, the family would have to come out here, initiate the form, and then take the form back to the funeral home.
So this form, this bottom part that's for the funeral home to fill out, he is telling us that he refuses to fill that out. Is that correct?
He is not requesting the Saturday burial, is what he's saying. He's still going to be on there as the funeral home. He is not requesting the...
He is not going to tell us this family would like to have a Saturday burial.
Because that's what the rule came out of a few months ago. It said that whoever requests the Saturday burial is responsible to pay the $400.
That's why he's not going to accept a $400 payment at the funeral home.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
because
he's going to make it to where the family has to make two trips.
Yeah.
And if that's the way he wants to treat his customers, that's up to him. But we will take care of their customers as they come through our door.
Well, I don't understand that philosophy when it's okay for Sheridan, but not okay for here.
That's personal business.
People.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care.
Yeah, we're not in the funeral home business. We're just in the cemetery business.
Yeah.
So if he wants to have them do two trips, that's up to him.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're taking no action. Is there to be any response to this, or Craig just goes back and says we took no action?
I can do that.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Is that what we
unless you
do?
Want it? I mean, it's a way I see it. Any one of us can make a motion to do anything, whether that's submit the letter, whether that's but.
Nobody feels like that's necessary.
I think if he wants to treat his customers that, I put myself, try to take myself out of the funeral home thing and just focus on my responsibilities as a secretary. Well, if somebody sends somebody out here, we're going to treat them good and take care of all their paperwork and do whatever we can to take care of their paperwork and fees and whatever with our staff here at the cemetery. Outside the gate, it's not my call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and the last thing on the agenda is the gate closure.
Okay. So last board meeting, we asked our staff to make sure the gates are closed. That includes the three gates that border our neighbor to the north on the eastern side of our property. Well, our staff was, threatened with being arrested for trespassing for closing the gates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, near as I can tell, if it's a border fence and I close the gate, and Wyoming is a fence it out state, so if you don't want somebody's animals crossing into your property, you close the gate, that is not trespassing. Would I be correct?
As far as I know, yes, sir.
Okay. So, let's begin. All we're asking is the gates be closed, not locked, just closed. Is there any issue with closing a gate to make sure livestock doesn't get onto the neighbor's property? We don't have any livestock.
And there's no livestock in
there's
the pasture next to it.
There's horses over there.
In the next pasture.
Well, I don't know how he's got his thing fenced off, but all I'm asking is we should be able to close our gates without threat of trespass. And I know legally, whatever, because I don't see why we can't close our gates. We closed the one out here. We closed the one over by the high school.
The
gates can be opened and closed. That's why they are a gate. You open it, you close it.
And when everybody locked the gates, the gates were locked last year as a personal slap.
No, it was not a personal slap.
And somebody
may have been taken that way, but that's not what it was intended.
All the gates. This one gets locked.
That one's
on
locked.
Both highways locked. Yeah. All the gates. I don't know. I think it's a simple fix.
Just close the gates. Yeah, there's codes.
The whole thing is being a neighbor.
Yeah, my point
exactly.
You're right, Craig. The whole point is being a neighbor.
Just close the gate.
And we're asking that the gates be closed.
We're not even asking.
Well,
we're just going to close the gate.
When the sheriff was called.
Are we digging up old dirt, or are we talking about the gate?
No, this is the dirt that has happened from
do we really want to go down that road, or do we just want to focus on closing the gate? That's all right. Close the gates. Now, there's policy that says that if you want access to the cemetery property through a other than the front gate and the back gate, call the sexton. Let them know.
Irrigation is also part of this.
They're not being locked. They're just being closed. And our staff was threatened with trespass. I think that's ridiculous.
Mr. Hanson?
If the issue is not locking the gate or locking it,
just close it.
I've always had a theory that it's closed gates. Gates are supposed to be closed. If they're not to be closed, there's no need for a gate. So my view on this is as long as it's not a question of whether it's locked or unlocked, but whether it's a question of the gate being closed, it would be from my perspective, it would be on everyone's, in everyone's best interest that the gate is just simply closed. Now, if say, for example, his irrigator is making 1 hour sets, in other words, he's going out to irrigate twice a day, there may be times, like, for example, in the morning when you go through the gate, you may just leave it open. You have no livestock on either side, you would leave it open. And then in the evening, coming back after you do your irrigating chores, yeah, you would close the gate again. So the gate would be closed in the evening and at night. But if it's not a question of whether the gate's locked or unlocked, just that it's closed. My opinion is that it would be, there's nothing wrong with just simply closing the gate. It's not that tough to open and close a gate.
Okay.
Exactly. I mean, if I were to talk to the neighbor about it, that's the way I would present my ideas about it. It's, you know, let's just keep the gate closed. There's no reason. From an operational standpoint, my gates were always closed. I always closed my gates. You never know what's going to happen. You know, particularly through the evenings and at night. So it was always my priority was always close the gate, just simply close it. You know, so those are my feelings. That's just the way I look at it. As long as it's not a question of being locked or not.
No, it's just a matter of them being closed.
Closed, yeah. That's my opinion.
Miss Dancy, it's okay to close the gate?
You keep the gates closed.
Okay. Chris?
If there's a reason for that gate to be left open, the only reason I could see is, like I said, if the irrigator has to pass through that gate twice a day and there's no livestock on either side or nothing being fenced out or fenced in,
it's just preventative to prevent problems and just close the gates.
Yeah, that's my opinion. That's my opinion on the gate. As long as it's not an issue of it being locked or not. That's where I have the issues with locked gates. Good catches make good neighbors. Locked gates make good neighbors. So.
Good.
I'm going to request the gates be closed. Simple.
And request it.
Yeah.
I think we have requested it.
We'll
request it again. Can we
just go
out
and
close the gate?
Just go out and close the gate.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not crossing off. We're on cemetery land. We are not trespassing.
Yeah. No, just close the
gate. Is there some rule of who owns the gate?
So the boundary fence is going to be owned by both parties?
Both.
I mean, it's called the law. I mean, there's a specific statute about it called the lawful fence. I mean, the only way it would not be, for example, let's say the fence is 20 feet on the side, you know, off the boundary line, on the neighbor's, and the neighbor has given you permission to use his 20 feet of ground, probably doesn't seem like the circumstance you're dealing with, of course, and you run it. If they haven't given you permission, then you have adverse possession claim, and you probably own it anyways. So, no, fences are owned by, I mean, that's just the law. Fences are owned by both parties, either party, and it's the responsibility of both parties, right, to upkeep the fence. The maintenance costs are borne by both parties. If you go build a new fence, you can actually send a bill to your neighbor for
half of the
cost. And so even if you build it without their permission, you can do that, which isn't very neighborly, but people do that every once in a while. So
neither party can say, I own that gate.
No, you don't own it any more than the neighbor would.
Right. Exactly.
It's for, I mean, the point of the gate is for everybody's use. Mm-hmm. You can get back and forth.
Back and forth.
Okay. Between the properties. I mean, especially out in the, I mean, it's a little bit different right here, but out in the boonies, I mean, it becomes.
So, is that the only access that the neighbor has to his other pasture?
No.
Does he have to come on cemetery to get to his other gate?
There's a whole road out there.
You can't get there. Not on the back side. Not on the front side. You can't get there. That's his only access to the.
So do we have any kind of.
There's nothing in writing.
Easement or what? Is it an easement that you would do it?
No, or a right of way.
A right of way? Or
easement. Dave.
Well, I guess it depends whether you want it to be formal or if you're just trying to be good neighbors. I mean, if you're trying to be good neighbors.
Well, I would like to be a good neighbor. I would like not to have to go down that road, but I'm just asking the question.
Well, if it's going to be formal, then yes, it has to be either a license agreement or an easement. If it's formal, but hopefully you don't have to do that.
Hopefully not.
Closing the gate, I make a motion to close the meeting, Mr. Craig.
I second.
It's moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
I didn't hear it out, please.
Oh, we had a motion to adjourn.
Oh,